Welcome to Hellas Footy Podcast. This is George. We'll get things started. Apostolo, how are you?
Good, how's
Yeah, good, man. Long time no speak.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Good to have you on, man. So, yeah, good to get your insights onto what's happening with your beloved Panathinaikos, mate. So it'll be good.
Same thing, man. Good in Europe.
Yeah. And Elaine, how are you?
I'm good.
That's good.
I'm
That's
good.
a yeah, another one that we haven't heard from a while, so it'll also be good to get your thoughts on Balk. So that'll
Yeah.
be good there to chat. And of course, Stephen, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, George. Yes, yeah, 6 in the morning in the UK. But
Yeah.
I'm up and ready.
Do you know what happened,
The
Stephen?
seven in France. No,
7 a.m.
literally
in
seven.
France and I think midnight in Chicago.
Chicago.
4 p.m. here in Sydney, Australia. Steve, sorry, man.
You
Daylight
already
sa
have sun in England.
and daylight saving started here as well. So that's why the time zone kind of stuffed you up a bit, Steve. But look, good to see you're
That's
on,
fine.
man. Dedication. That's what we love.
Yeah, of course, exactly.
We've got a big episode today to talk about. So we'll get things started with the Super League here, guys. We'll run through the matches. Some interesting results. We'll start off here with Lamia 1-0 winners over Panathinaikos. Apostolos' ex-striker Carlitos got the goal for Lamia there. It was a nice goal right on the 7th minute. Karelis, I don't know if you guys saw this. Karelis had this gilt chance to score as well, and he missed the golden opportunity that was laid right in front of him for Panathinaikos. But Lamia held on for the win there. So I don't know, boys, did you pick up on that match?
No, I didn't get to pick on that. But the first thing I think of is Carlitos always scored against the poorer teams, but he had this weird record where he had like 0 goals against the top 4 or 5 teams in
Yeah.
the Greek league. It was the strangest thing. But against those teams, he'll always
He'll
get a
always,
goal.
it was, So, look, I think it's an interesting signing there. He's obviously going to, he's the main man there, and he's always going to be scoring. He's always going to be getting chosen. It was a nice header, near post as well, put it away. But yeah, the Karelis miss will hurt Panathinaikos. Moving on, Volos and Panathinaikos match was postponed for next week. Aris and Kifisia had a one or draw. Moron opened up the scoring in the 23rd minute, and Ozegovic in the 75th minute got an equaliser for Kifisia. So I don't know if you guys saw it. It was a nice build-up play. They kind of opened up for Moron there, the Kifisia team, for him to just tap it in right in front there. Opportunities for Aris to take the to double their lead, and they never took them. And Kifisia, after a Yanis Masuras run and cross for the goal, one or draw probably. Well, not probably. Aris would feel hard done by in that match. Stephen, how did you see that one?
It's one that Aris would expect to win, against a newly promoted side. But as we've highlighted previously, Kifisia and also Panathinaikos have had a really good start to the season. They're playing some really nice football and they're taking it to the bigger boys. And
Yeah.
so this result is a much more important one for, well, it's a much more vital point for Kifisia than it is for Aris, who will obviously feel disappointed they couldn't get a result in this game.
Absolutely,
Oh,
yeah.
sorry, get a win. I should have said get a win. They did get a result, but they
No,
should have
I
won.
know what you mean. Yeah. Now, before we get to the derby matches as well, Stephen, I'll keep you on, mate. Olympiacos 3-0 winners away from home over Bas Yanina. Potence scored a double in the 17th and 23rd minute, and Rodini, who looked was just pulling the trigger left, right, and centre in this game, or getting up and running quite often, ended up getting a goal in injury time as well. So it was a I'd say a comfortable win. Yeah. How did you
Very
see it?
first, yeah, very comfortable win, George. First half, we were excellent. They couldn't get a sniff at goal. They didn't have a shot on target the entire game, as it happens. And if anyone hasn't seen Podence's 2 goals, they're unbelievable just outside the box. They go through everyone because there are a lot of players in the box at the time when he took both shots. And oh, he's just magical. It's good that he's adding goals to his game as well since he's come back from the Premier League. It's something that he missed. He probably lacked apart from everything else that he could do for us prior to leaving for Wolves. Mm-hmm. And he's now just come back an even better player, which is nice to see. Ortega had a good game too, got the assist for Podence's first goal. So that was good as well. Alexandropoulos had a decent game. The defence looked pretty comfortable. I know it's Bastianina, but they have caused us problems in the past. So good to see Freya and Ndoye playing fairly well under the circumstances. And as you said, George, Rodney's one of the best players for us this season. It's great to see him get his first goal. And he's the right back we've been missing since, you know, we lost Omar Abdelawi. And I'm glad that he's proved some of the doubters wrong.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, it's a good team. Bit of rotation there with the guys coming in as well. Some guys missing out due to a variety of reasons for the upcoming match. It was good to be able to score early and put the game to bed before halftime. Apostolo.
Yeah, watching a little bit of that game and the highlights after just to make sure, I was like, I definitely think Podence is going to make a difference for Olympiacos. As a Panathinaikos player, I was like, oh, man, they're not going to go away this year.
That's the first thing
I thought. Because those goals were really something that, you know, could change the game on itself. And he got the goals early on. And the game was even easier for them afterwards. But they definitely have some – you could tell the coach has done a good job with the team. And they're not going to – go away like last year. So
no, that's a good thing there. What did you think of your old boy, Alexandropoulos?
Well, usually I want him not to do well with Olympiacos now, but no, I'm just kidding. No, I thought he played pretty well. He had a good through ball. He pretty much like kept Pasionino, you know, away from being a threat in any way. I mean, he was pretty much at his best. I think the coach knows how to use him well.
I don't know if you saw, there was an interview. I retweeted it midweek look, I just like, he's a young guy, and if anyone missed that interview, he spoke that he wants the pressure back on his career, and that's why he's moved to Olympiacos, because he wants to thrive under that. Now, considering we're seeing a lot of young guys take the easy option in their career lately, you know, you can put away whatever hat you wear with the teams you support. And if we put on our ethnic or mother hat, I think it's great to see a young guy realize that, you know, his career is a short one and he's going to make the right decisions and push himself and not take the easy options. So I don't know. I found that nice, nice reading, considering we've seen a lot of, you know, guys lately just decide to take easy options career wise. So,
I have to say, I give Olympiacos some credit in, as far as how they built their team, because they have a good bit of Greek players on each part of the team. And you could tell there's a good, what's the Greek word, humea, like there's a good connection within the team. You have Fortunas, you could tell, dictates a lot. Alexandropoulos covering midfield. You have Pashalakis, who I forget is still their goalkeeper. You have... You know, a lot of decent Greek players all over the team. Masouras, I'm not a fan of, but he contributes, you know.
Yeah, so. He contributes. Like he does. Well, we got Masouras and Toy. Retsos as well. Yeah. So, look, it's go on, Steve.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think it's something that Diego Martinez emphasized early doors when him and Antonio Cordon were building the squad, that to have a Greek core and a strong one at that is important for Olympiacos, because it gives the team some identity, but it also gives the fans other players to identify with, because they know how strongly the fans must feel for their Greek players, as well as the important foreign players too. But then bringing in foreign players with quality, and that's what they've done, and that's why pretty much everyone has shone, you know, barring one or two moments. But yeah, it's good. And also, I wanted to highlight from match day two, when we went top of the league, that was the first time we were top of the league since we won the title in 2021-22. Because not once last season were Olympiacos top of the league at the end of a match week. So there you go. We've already been top more than we ever were last season.
That's good. It's good. And, you know, teams are falling around us as well, which is just as good as well. Moving on to that one, though, and it's great to see we've got our Balk and Panathinaikos brethren on here. Panathinaikos hosted Balk and had a 2-2 draw. So I don't know who should be upset in this match, because Panathinaikos fans are saying that they should have won the game, but then Balk fans will be upset because they conceded a late, late goal. So Balk opened up the scoring in the 19th minute. Thomas got the goal there. Panathinaikos equalised with Palacios. Zivkovic in the 58th minute got their second goal, and it looked like they were going to take the game, but in the 96th minute, Yeremeyev got the equaliser for Panathinaikos off Mladenovic assist. I'll start off with you, Elaine. Are you happy or upset about this result?
When I saw the last action, I was so damn upset. And first, my reaction was... how could Samatta just miss the cedar just before and made the mistake when he lost the ball? And after the game, I watched again and I told myself, really, and that's not even biased, was like, how could Pau finish with 11 players? Because they were tackling Delias all game. And he could have been injured again.
Yeah, it was a bit of a spicy game there. Apple, what did you think of it?
I was incredibly frustrated. If you see the shot chart, it was like 25 shots to 6. I think like half of them were on target. Kotarowski saved like a couple amazing shots. One from my favorite player. No, I'm just kidding. Kotsiras, one from, you know, just a crazy shots. Palacios had one right in the box with the goal right, you know, at his mercy. Kotsiras had, you know, Kotarski came out of their goal all the way to midfield, and Kotsiras had the goal wide open. He didn't even look up to shoot. And, you know, there were just some crazy moments where Panathinaikos had a lot of chances and the game was up and down most of the time, but they just could not finish their chances. And I think that's going to be a recurring theme most of the year. As good as Pau play, as good as the managers they have, finishing chances is always a big thing. It cost us against Braga. It cost us against Pauk. You know, the third striker had to come in to finally get a goal for Panathinaikos to go through. And that's with Ioannidis in good form lately. So
yeah, well, that's right. You had your side there. Man, it was interesting. Mancini starting off the bench. I thought he's been playing well for you guys.
Yeah, I think that's the playing in Europe again part, because you could tell there's a rotation thing every game going on where he has to give players rest. Like Ruben Perez didn't play at all.
Yeah,
which is probably
No, Zeka was on the bench as well. Is that the first time he's been on the bench, or?
I think so. Yeah, because I was surprised to see his name. I believe that was his first night. Even Kleinhaus, the Hungarian international, came back too. No, so
that's right there. Yeah, Elaine. Now, once the game is all settled, would you have taken a point? Because considering if you look at it, like you did, like Apostle was right, they had 13 shots on target and I think another 10 shots off target to 60-something% possession of the ball. But what you guys did was counting. So it's bittersweet, I think, that result.
I would have taken the point, but looking at the scenario in second half, I think because we hit the post and Samatta missed the action, and with the two big fouls on Tyson and Costa Delias, I think Pauk could have made it.
Yeah, it could be one of those games that you look back and you worry. Now, what happened with your coach afterwards? He got a bit upset.
Yeah. Actually, actually, because he was really upset because the ref didn't give the second yellow card on the foul on Delias and on Tyson as well. And he said the ref. I think he said the ref was a clown. And
he did say something like that. Fortias, who was the referee?
The issue I think really is that we got this ref who has been downgraded from Portugal Liga 1 to Portugal Liga 2.
Okay, yeah, Thiago, so, Bruno Lopes Martin.
Thiago Martins.
Yeah, Apple.
And really, I'm wondering why the federation, the board can pick up so shitty referees.
That part
we know is going to continue, but I would say. Alan, you know it wasn't that bad, the refereeing. I don't think Pau could say that. That's why they lost. I mean, honestly, you know that. But I think what's crazy is Jovanovic, who usually never says anything, and the presser was saying, you know, he thinks Lucescu has something against the team since they lost in the Greek Cup final because, you know, Lucescu probably had that match won to himself, but still can't believe he got out-coached. I think in many ways – I think it kind of sticks with him because usually he kind of wins those coaching battles, especially the big games and stuff like that. So I think he might have actually gotten in his head by now. And
I think he's been a bit angry lately, Lucescu, hasn't he?
Yeah, because that wasn't the game to say the refs were the reason. I could understand some games where that happens.
And that was mainly against. Aris.
Yeah. I'll read out. Nick couldn't be on today's show, but he wanted to share his thoughts with us. And look, for his part, he said Panathinaikos should have won with all the chances created, but also needed to be more efficient in front of goal. You can't take 20 shots and only get a return of 2 goals, even though the pole keeper had a blinder. Also, not good enough defensively to ship 2 goals when they controlled the game. Happy to see Yeremeyev take his chance. Hopefully, he gets more of a chance moving forward. Ironically, both our goals from a bulk point of view could have been easily prevented, especially the late equaliser. Yeremeyev got in between a centre-back and a full-back. And finally, most importantly... he's not happy with the bowl coach, and well done to Jovanovic for having a go at him in the press conference. So and after the game on the pitch, so that's Nick passionate, wears his heart on his sleeve. So look, guys, I think it was an interesting game, that one, from a neutral perspective, because I thought. Like Apostolo said, I kind of think the referee was okay. The referee issue is always going to be there anyway, but I thought the ref did okay. It's 9 out of 10 times Panathinaikos will win that game with the chances that they had, but they didn't. So, you know, you got to give credit to the bulk side for being resilient and taking their chances with so few that they had.
They missed the 3-1 at the end.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah, so that goes to the bottom as well. Apple.
Yeah, I just wanted to add 2 things, and I wanted to ask Alan something. For one, definitely the counterattacks have been hurting Panathinaikos a lot. I think they're definitely adjusting, and Ruben Perez isn't playing as well as he was when he first came to Panathinaikos. I think he's starting to show his age. I think Juan Carr is too. I think that showed against Braga. I think there's a few like transitions you'll probably see in the team within the year. I could see Aral playing more and Bladenovic, who's made a difference many times. I think the team's going to change throughout the year. But I also wanted to ask Elaine. I thought Konstantelis like barely ever got the ball in the game, and I wonder sometimes how Pauk in their midfield. I thought Chiaris was okay, but it seemed like, you know, that there was no way for them to get the ball and give it to their attacking players. It just seemed really odd that for a team with Lucescu, that they're still figuring it out and they can't create anything with even with some of the good players. So.
Well, I think the main problem on this game came from the fullbacks. They were absolutely useless. And second, Schwab was completely down. And Tsingaras did all the job in the midfield. I posted his heat map, and that was absolutely amazing. He ran like 40 kilometers and did it all the job. All the job. He did Ekong and Schwab's job.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that because I was watching the game and I was like, this is what Alan's talking about. You could tell he was everywhere clearing up, you know, any attack Panathinaikos, at least disrupting it. And, you know, and it seemed like he was by himself sometimes. So.
Yeah.
Even if offensively he lost some balls, defensively he was a monster again.
Yep, no, absolutely, guys. Look, take the points. It's a valuable point, I guess, for each team, and maybe lost points for each team. There's an argument for either one of you guys there. Moving on, Atromitos hosted Asteras. Atromitos had Pierre Koundé sent off in the 56th minute, but Asteras couldn't capitalize on that red card. Even though they had many more shots on target, the game ended as a nil or draw. So neither side would be happy with that result. Maybe Atromitos would be a bit happier considering they played the second half, most of the second half with 10 men. Stephen, though, do you think either coach is under pressure here for what's going on with the start of their seasons?
I was actually going to ask, where's Atromitos going these days? They don't seem to have young players or anything. They're just kind of there.
They're a bit all over the place. But yeah, Steve, what did you think?
I don't know if Asteras is necessarily in as much pressure because, you know, they may have lost three games this season, but they've also won two, drawn two, and they're kind of ninth, which is around where you'd expect, but based on their recent performances in the past couple of seasons, you know, they'll always be wanting to try and push to get that top six spot, but I don't know if they'll have the capability to do that this season. Atromitos, definitely. Chris Coleman is under a huge amount of pressure because they did bring in a lot of players, but Michael highlighted previously in a couple episodes ago, it's not with a lot of quality. You know, there's a couple of decent players they've brought up from the Super League 2, but they just look like a bit of a mess. And it's unlike Banadoligos where you could see it coming from last season in the playouts. Atromitos had an okay playouts. So it's a very strange one to see them really struggle like this. But yeah, it's a bit of a hangover from them from last season, and they're still without a win. So big pressure for Chris Coleman.
No, absolutely. Apple, what do you think?
It seems like both teams are kind of going nowhere these days because they've kind of given up on their youth squads or signing foreign players or just kind of stagnant. I mean, it's kind of strange to see. You usually, you know, Atromitos had like players like Barkas and Limnos. They'd have at least a couple youth players. We'd be like, well, you know, they have something going on. They're building, but these days just stagnant. It's really strange. Most Greek teams are like that these days.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I don't know what both clubs are trying to represent. They're obviously not going to win the league. They're both trying to push for a playoff position, but I don't know.
I mean, the best example is Asteras Tripolis had Duvikas in their team for 2 years, and they never played him. As soon as he left, you know, he scored like 10-something goals for Volos, and he, of course, we know now he's taken off. It's like, it's just incredible that they even have good players. And they just
yeah, It's an interesting situation that both clubs are going to be going in, Milan Rastovac and Chris Coleman. So I don't know. We'll see come Christmas time what's going to be happening with those two clubs, but it's not looking good for them. And last game of the round, Offi, the Cretans, got a 2-0 win over the champions, AEK Athens. Felipe got the goal scoring in the 5th minute. And in the 83rd minute, Dicko doubled the lead there for him. So that's a massive win for the Cretans, who are really looking good this season. Stephen, did you get a chance to pick up on this match?
I saw the highlights and it was really impressed from Offi. You know, they took the game to AEK and we've been saying all season that it's always going to be a tough place for any club in Greece to go to in Crete, and full credit to Offi. You know, they managed to hold AEK at bay, and I think I'm just having a quick look. I think this is the first time AEK have failed to score in the league this season, and so that's a big defeat for them, and they'll feel really disappointed with that result, considering they are the champions. They were starting to get a little bit of momentum going, you know, with the draw against Olympiacos, and then beating Brighton, beating Panathinaikos, and midweek against Adromitos. But yeah, it's a big step back for AEK, and they we'll get into the European games later, I'm sure. But they play Ajax this week, and Ajax are in a bit of a mess, so they need to be as confident as possible to get a result against them.
Apple, Offi, good to see one of the bigger, you know, one of the second tier bigger clubs finally getting their shit together.
Yeah, of course. I was in Crete a couple years ago and got to see their stadium, and it's kind of like a Leoforos type stadium where it's really, you know, you feel like you're really close to it, and you can see why the atmosphere makes a difference. It's definitely a team I'm glad when they're doing well, because it's good for Greece to have a team in Crete that has such a big fan support that, you know, and especially because they have a good owner, they have a good setup. I think they're a team that could go even further. They sold Mandas for a good amount of money over the summer that most clubs.
They sold him to Lazio. I think it was Lazio. Yeah, look, I think their coach and their coach Dambrauskas is building something really nice there.
I did want to say, though, I saw a lot of funny thing on Twitter that was saying I didn't get a penalty in this match.
that everyone was saying there's no penalty, there's no ref's help there. Now that what's his name, the referee's boss is gone, they're gone as well. All the monarchies in the world. all the usual Greek riffraff comments that Olympiacos used to cop are now again copping them.
Yeah, what about the you know, AEKA being closed because the new sports minister is an AEK fan, so it's like
there's so many conspiracies. Yeah, who even knows? But that's another question. I mean, how does AEKA? It's closed because there's some issues with the actual stadium. There's some safety issues. I mean, what?
Yeah. Like
to do with the is there isn't there isn't the roof? They haven't done the suitable safety measures to make sure that it's like ready for a game, and so it's not safe technically. And it's ridiculous. Like you get these things sorted at the beginning of the season. You know, the Ebor knew that Panathinaikos would have to play at AEKA before the start of the group stages of the Europa League. So why was it not ready for them when they started playing in Europe this season? You know, they have to now play at Leoforos, which doesn't currently meet UEFA standards to play a UEFA affiliated game, but
I think it's even worse than that. I think they knew about it, but they just didn't. They didn't say anything until now. I think those have been a problem for a long time.
I'm not surprised.
An article today that just by luck people didn't get hurt. I mean, like that kind of explains Greece for you right now. I mean,
but these are basic things, Abo. Like if there was an issue at Wembley, they would get that sorted. I know Wembley doesn't get used as much as it as it does when there's not a football club using it temporarily. But still, they were like in England, they get this stuff sorted. In other countries, they get this stuff sorted. But in Greece, they knew about it and they didn't do anything
and,
about
and they
it.
Wait, and they wait and they wait and they wait. Yeah. Anyway, looking at the table, Olympiakos on top, 19 points. Balk sitting second on 14. Parthenikos 13. Orfi sitting fourth on 12 points. AEK on 11. Panserraikos top sixth with 9 points. Lamia also equal 9 points, but sitting seventh. Aris on 8, Asteras 8, Kifisia 6, Pasianina 5, Atromitos 3 with Panetolikos on 3, and last is Volos on 2 points. Now, there's also a couple games that are going to be played, the catch-up matches next week. So AEK will host Panetolikos and Parthenikos will host Atromitos. So, and that will get everyone back on track match-wise there. But also, big week of football as well for all our clubs here, gentlemen. Europe is back on this week. Now, we'll start again with you, Stephen, here. Baka Topola host Olympiakos. Both teams are going to be looking for the win there after both teams had a loss in the first round. I think Baka went down 3-1, if I'm correct.
Yes, they
and
did.
Olympiakos 3-2 there. Stephen, what do we need to do to win this match? Because it's away from home. It's an unknown side to a certain extent. I don't know what their home, what their league results are like. I don't really care. Well, I should, but what do you think we need to do to get a result here?
I'm writing a preview about this now, George. So that'll be out either the day before or on the day of the game. And I basically started it with saying that we cannot underestimate Baka Topola. Not because Olympiakos are not favourites in this game, not because Olympiakos is expected to struggle in this game, but because if we allow ourselves to be complacent against a team like this, they will punish us. I watched the highlights against West Ham, and West Ham, to concede first against them, switched off, and they got a really easy goal that was very avoidable. And so we have to be careful because it's still away in. They haven't got a massive stadium. It's only 4,500 people. But yeah, Olympiakos need to go there and just be decisive. Like they were against Bastianina this weekend. Go there, get a couple of goals before halftime, and then just search for a third and keep it comfortable. Because Olympiakos, in both of these games, home and away, is more than capable of beating Baka Topola. And if Olympiakos want to be in at least the Europa Conference League come 2024... this is the team we have to get past to at least get third. And just based on the league result they had on Saturday, they drew, and it was because of a 90. What is it? It was a goal they conceded in added time. So, you know, it was a bit of a disappointment for them to not get a win in the Serbian Superliga. But yeah, Olympiakos are favourites and need to be treat themselves as such.
They're sitting second as well in the Serbian Super League. So, you know, there's some... It's interesting. There's always these clubs that just pop up out of nowhere to see what happens with them. So I think, like you were saying, though, Steve, we need to win and we need to win well for a variety of reasons. One, because obviously we lost our first match in the circumstances that we lost them, which hurts. And secondly, you know, we need that bounce back in Europe. And if we want to, at the very least, continue our European adventure, we need to be beating Baka home and away. And it starts with away now. So tough, but I have faith that the boys should get it done for us this week. Elaine, Balk are hosting Eintracht Frankfurt. How do you see that match going?
Well, I think that if we play like against Helsinki, like not being too resilient and going straight attacking, I think we have a chance because I had a look and Frankfurt has a good defense, but they still are vulnerable. They just lost against Wolfsburg.
Yep.
I think we have a chance, really.
They haven't won a game. I'm just looking now. The last time they won a game was, I don't even know when.
In the Bundesliga, it was in August.
In August, yeah. I'm going back, and that's August the 21st against Darmstadt.
Yeah, and their attack looks so full also.
Yeah.
Because they already played 6 games in Germany,
mm-hmm.
and Frankfurt got 4 draws, 1 victory, and one loss, and they scored only 4 goals in 6 games and conceded 5.
Yep, yep. They've had lots of 1-1 draws there. So look, I think you guys. I mean, you're hosting, so it's in Greece. So I'd like to think that you're going to win. I'm pretty confident in Balk. I like the style of football that you guys try to play. Sometimes it doesn't come off, like midweek. Sorry, not midweek against Panathinaikos, but there's a core of players there that once they're on fire there. So I think you guys can get the job done. Are you confident?
Actually, yes, and yes and no. That will depend. That will really depend on the 11. I think we're gonna need Despodov instead of Tyson. That's my guess, and I pray for Zivkovic to be okay.
Yeah,
and will depend because I think Brendan should start because Samata no.
Yeah, well, we'll see how you guys go. It'll be an interesting match, and I think just like the preview for Olympiacos, you're at home, so you know at the very least, the team should be going out looking for the win there and trying to control the match from the get go. Greg, Carlos Irtes.
Hi guys, how are you?
Yeah, good mate. Yourself?
I'm all right, mate. Living a very busy life these days.
Just been
able to get on for a bit.
Ah, very good. All right. Well, what we'll do, we're going through the European Football League matches here. So we'll go straight to your match, AEK hosting Ajax. Now, both teams are on a bit of a slide, footballing wise, a bit in different form from both sides this season. But you guys have started off well in Europe, having a big win. So how do you see this match going for you, considering the shock loss to Offie yesterday?
Look, I think the loss to Offie was probably a nice wake-up call for us. We have Johnson back. We have Araujo back. So I think, look, in fairness, we rested a fair few players for Offie for this AEK game. Still expected to beat Offie regardless of that. But I'm quietly I am optimistic. I think we can do something. We should hopefully have Mukuri and Voda back in defense, which will help us out. And I think Haji Safi will be at left back and Sidibe back at right back. So, well, I think we've got a fair bit of firepower coming back in for this game. And the goal is to put the Offie loss behind and getting a result against AEK. So, and I think Ponce will go up front. So I'm confident we can bounce back. Look, it's going to be a tough game regardless. AEK has their own problems. Ajax has their own problems as well. But I think we can. I think the loss is going to make us just be that little bit more eager for that result against AEK, which would be huge for us.
I haven't asked you this question, but what do you reckon? Like, what do you think is the catalyst for you at the start of the season that you've had?
We did a terrible job in recruitment for defense. So We're playing with Collins and Mitoglou at the moment. We just haven't. We bought plenty of players for attack and up front, but the guys, I think the European football aspect has, tired us more than we expected. Our rotation isn't too bad. We've still got plenty of options to use. When you're constantly playing, it's still, there's it probably needs a bit more rotation. So Zuba, for example, is playing in most games. He'd be tired by now. We've got Araujo and Ponce up front who have been pretty good. But we've had a makeshift defensive group for a little while now. We just didn't buy enough defense, in my opinion. Mohamadi and Hajisafi at left back for me is probably okay. In Hajisafi for me is okay for Super League. Mohamadi for me is not A quality. And then at right back, Rota and Sidibe. Sidibe gets injured very easily, but he's been okay. And Rota, again, good for the Super League, but for European games, is he at that level? He did okay. He's getting better. But I would have loved for us to have invested a bit more in those positions at the back.
Yeah, you're getting a bit found out there. Look, Ajax are sitting 15th out of 18 teams in their league on 5 points. So they've got massive issues going on at that club there.
That's what I wanted to mention. Is it feels like it's Greece's year with an opportunity in Europe, because you have like Frankfurt, who's not – they've been playing the last few years. You have Ajax, who – had to cancel their game against Feyenoord during the match because of crowd trouble, and then the last match because of the opposing goalkeeper. So they have all types of interruptions lately. Like Villarreal is like a shadow of themselves, and that's who Panathinaikos has in their group. It seems like it's
the and Marseille Marseille is not in good shape either.
No, they sacked their coach recently as well. I think all four teams have to do well for the sake of Greek football, because where we're sitting, looking at there's a few predictions of what they reckon Greece will finish coefficient wise, and if the predictions come true, they're thinking that we'll probably finish around 15th. Greg,
anyone know what happened to the AX game against Waljik? It got abandoned. Just wondering. I'm just looking it up now. They're winning 3-2. I think most of the game.
The opposing goalkeeper got some like severe injury, so they had to take care of him, and the game was abandoned. He's okay now. I guess he got rushed to the hospital. But.
And I think the rule is in the Eredivisie, because I watched the video, interestingly, came out about Ajax recently that I watched, which is quite insightful. There's three strikes basically within Eredivisie games. So if three incidents happen that are crowd related, the game just is stopped and it just gets played either 24 hours later or at the next most convenient point. So that is, on the one hand, it's good because the crowd trouble is not tolerated, but then at the same time, the Ajax fans could, if a result wasn't going their way, or just an Eredivisie side's result wasn't going their way, they could just get the game postponed and then get it played in a hope that they'd get a better result in on a different day.
Imagine that it had that rule in Greece. Jesus.
Oh my God.
It'd be matches every friggin'
every
day.
Every derby it would happen. Every derby it would just be ridiculous.
Greg, Ajax were up 3-2 in that match as well.
Yes.
When it happened. Then the goalkeeper went down in the 85th minute. It'll be interesting. So what happens? Abandoned 85th minute. What are they going to play? 5 minutes plus injury time? So
I'm not sure, because normally I think if I've read correctly, and more generally, if a game gets abandoned after a certain point, then they either give the result to the team that was in the lead, or if it's not far enough into the game whether it's a decisive result, then they have to just continue the game. So I don't know what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you said, George, it was in the very latter stages, so they might very well just give the Ajax the win. But I assume, like I said, under Eredivisie rules, they might have to just play the last 5 minutes somewhere.
Who knows?
I don't know.
Yeah. All right, we'll find out there. So, look, big match by Greg. It's an interesting one. I generally don't know how it's going to go, because both teams have been very indifferent this season. But you guys you did a great job in Europe. So if you can grab the two wins on the bounce there, that'll put you in massive advantage in that group moving forward. So
the crazy thing is how much we've struggled at home. Like we got the win of Atromitos, which is a bit of a we dominated, but we're in the same boat. I think with Panathinaikos, we're creating a lot of chances. We're just not bloody converting the chances. So really got to start converting these chances to which would make games a whole lot easier. We missed the majority of the chances. They took theirs. So time to start putting these away.
Yeah. Interesting season so far for your boys, Greg, but we'll see how that game pans out. And the last match in Europe is Maccabi Haifa host Panathinaikos. Apo, how do you reckon that game's going to go?
I would imagine Panathinaikos will win that. It's an opportunity for them to get a hold of the group and get, you know, to at least finish in first and second. But it's a big match for Panathinaikos. I think that's definitely a team that they feel like they should beat. So we'll see how it goes. Definitely Jovanovic has been rotating players more this year than he was last year with the European games in mind. So hopefully, like Ruben Perez didn't play at all, and he was playing every game last year. I mean, he didn't play at all over the weekend. So that's just one example. But
they've how they're sitting. They had a win just over the weekend, 3-2 away from home. So they're another interesting one there, away from home.
Isn't that the same club that gave Olympiacos trouble last year?
I was going to say, Abbott. Don't underestimate Maccabi Haifa. We did that, and we got thumped 4-0. And look, we were a mess when that happened, and you guys are not in a mess, especially not to that extent anyway. But don't underestimate Maccabi Haifa. They will punish you.
It's away from home. It's away from home, so it's a tricky match to begin with. But again, I think the way that you guys have been playing football, and as Greg alluded earlier, you're creating the chances. Last season, you were creating less chances but putting them away. This season, you're creating chances more and more. So I guess the trick is to be able to convert them. Tricky match, though, in Israel. So,
Probably a draw.
You reckon a draw?
Probably, yeah. Usually the away games for Panathinaikos are usually a draw, especially when they're the favorites, because that's always more difficult.
Look, it worked out well for all the clubs by Olympiacos the first round. So you kind of, in a good position to be able to, if you can jag a win, to put yourselves in good position there, whereas Olympiacos must win. There's no two ways about it. Anything other than a win will be devastating for us and our European chances there. So,
but I feel like Panathinaikos, the way the team is built now, is your typical Greek team that's good defensively, good coaching. At least not necessarily always with the Greek coaches, but just can't finish the chances. We don't play as well against. In Europe, usually you don't always play well against the bad teams. I mean, sorry, the opposite. We don't play well against the bad teams, but we play well against the good teams, like Marseille.
Yeah. I mean, half the battle is sometimes creating those chances. When teams aren't creating chances and they're not scoring, that's the hard part. When you're creating the chances and the opportunities, it's just a matter of why aren't they being converted. So, when you look at, To have 23 shots on target, in your last match, it's there's a lot there. Well, not 23 on target, sorry. I think 13 were on target, and the others weren't. But, 23 opportunities, you'd like to think you're going to be scoring more than a couple goals there, especially a 96th minute winner in a match, or equaliser. But, look, they're tricky matches, I think, for all clubs. But I think all clubs should be confident at least getting something out of them. I mean, is anyone like Greg? What do you think? Like overall?
Look, they're all, like you said, hard matches, and we don't take these for granted. But I really think what our teams are. I think the quality of the local league, especially amongst the big teams, has gone up a bit, and I think that's all these clubs now in a position where we're used to these tough games. And we're able to get results from them. So, I think something can happen here. pretty, you know, I think Panathinaikos can also grab something away. Balk should be able to grab a result. And Olympiakos, like you said, has to get something.
Has to, yeah. International football is going to be kicking off soon as well, boys. So Ireland hosting Greece and Georgia are hosting Cyprus, Stephen. So we'll talk a little bit about that in the following episode, because there's a couple catch-up matches that we want to grab on. But there's some must-win matches for Greece and Cyprus as well, guys, but we'll leave that for another day there. Greeks abroad, Douvikas, guys, scores and then gets subbed off and then they go and lose the match. That's pretty, you know, pretty hard to cop.
Yeah, I was going to mention that there's no way, you know, he scores against Barcelona. He scores in his next match and Poyet just ignores him. I mean, come on, like... even if he's on the bench, I think that's just crazy. Like, something must have happened. I mean, he's not Masilias or something.
Something's definitely happened there. Who knows what's happening there? Pavlidis scored as well, so he's doing well for at the very least.
The problem is no striker scoring with Poyet.
Yep. Well, Kutsias scored as well, Alain. You'll be happy for that.
Yeah, I would. That's a nice header.
Hey, have you actually, Greg? Sorry, go on, Greg.
It's interesting to know that about Poyet and choosing players. There was a recent article saying he had a chat to Costantelias recently, and he's back in the plan. So something's brewing for me. That it took a conversation between him and, you know, probably one of the most informed, biggest stars coming up, rising up from the Greek ranks. That he had to have a chat with him, with the coach, to get him back in the squad. So something's not sitting right for me, given the last selections and the amount of talent that's not getting picked. So watch this space, I reckon, because the next, mate, no more start. We can't be going into these games with a second-rate team in terms of form. We've got to pick their informed players.
Well, yeah. Yeah,
guys, maybe you saw what Douvikas said on the Ethniki.
What did he say?
That he didn't understand why he wasn't called up.
Well, it doesn't make sense why he's not called up. I mean, you know, look, we'll wait until the team is announced, and that we'll have obviously the podcast next week. But yeah, it doesn't make sense.
And Costandelias just said, yeah, I had a talk, and anytime I'm available anytime.
Yeah, well, you know, it makes sense. You know, you should be picking your best players there. But again, we'll wait till the squad is announced, and then we'll go from there. Hey, Greg, whilst we got you here, you got your catch-up match as well, straight after Europe against Panathinaikos, and Panathinaikos host Atromitos. But we'll first go to you just for this one here. It's a big weekend for you, in essence, isn't it?
It is, but all these games, just for me, it's just a worry. I think it's going to – I just really think it's going to hurt our domestic chance. We've played Orphi on the today. We play in AX 3 days later, and then we play Panathinaikos on the 9th, although we then get a bit of a break.
Yeah, three days later. So you get a break, yeah. But
we get a break after that. And then we play Marseille, funny enough. Mm-hmm. And then 2 days after Marseille, we got Bulk. So savor it as much as we can. It's look, like I said, we've got a squad that's good enough for a fair bit of rotation. But again, tough games, man. Tough games with little rest. So I hope the off away trip hasn't hurt us too much for Ajax, and you know, hopefully we can bring back Hagia Sophia to being that the grave for the other teams, because we've struggled there just a little bit this year.
Nah, absolutely. And Apostolo Panathinaikos host Atromitos, same thing, after the European matches on the catch-up match. That's a bit of a tricky match, although it's a bit of a local derby there as well.
Yeah, usually it is. Maybe we should measure the goalposts and just get it cancelled.
Sink them a bit, get some fat guys to hang off them a bit, eh? Bring them down a bit. Thank you, Greg, started.
No, I'm just messing around. I don't know. Usually Panathinaikos don't have as big of an issue with the smaller teams the last year, which is kind of strange. It's the opposite. Now we struggle in the derbies, which at first was the, you know, not the problem. So who knows?
From an outsider looking in, both clubs haven't played Europe consistently over the last few years. And it takes a little bit of time, I think, to build a squad that a coach is then comfortable in rotating.
But like, a good example is though, like Asteros Tripoli, we hadn't beaten in like something like 5 or 6 years.
6 years.
Six years.
And then we ended up beating them 4-1. So, I mean, that just shows like the team is, you know, adapted a little bit to Jovanovic and they're more of an attacking team.
It's hard. I don't really look at stuff like that because 5, 6 years ago, there was no one in the club at the time. So you look at your most recent results, or you kind of look at the results that have happened in the last 12 months. Anything before that is hard to really gauge because, you know, 6 years ago, who was playing for you guys? You know, Christos Donis was probably in the midfield for you guys.
But for the top four teams to have a record like that against a mid-table or a bottom league team, that just doesn't happen often.
But again, 6 years ago, you guys were, you know, a bit of a mess as well. So traditionally you were, or historically you were a top side, and you'll always will be a top side at that stage of the, at that time you guys were in a bit of a hole. So I don't know. It's great. Look, I think it's perfect. I think it's fantastic to see the clubs the way they are. I'm grateful that all four clubs have made Europe. It would have been nice to have five in Europe. But it is what it is there. So,
You know, I miss Makeda and Hadji Theodorides and random players you could think of.
Yeah, Makeda.
I wonder what he's doing. Doesn't have a club, actually.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows what's going on? Guys, anyway, it was great talking, everyone. Thanks for jumping on. Guys, thank you for listening to our podcast as well. We're going to have the European one coming up next for us as well. And obviously, Todd, jumping on all the European matches as well. Hopefully by then we'll have the Ethnic Your Mother named. We can discuss that and pull that apart. Greg's gone.
When is the list again?
I'm not sure. Where's Michael when you need him? He's all over that kind of stuff. But
I assume next week because the game's starting.
I think hopefully, but before the podcast we record, we'll have the list, the squad list out there for everyone to see. But Elaine, thank you for jumping on.
My pleasure, guys.
Thank you, Apostolo. Thanks for jumping on as well, mate. Really appreciate it.
I'm good to be on. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's great to hear. And Stephen, always a pleasure chatting to you as well.
Nice. It's been good to speak to you too, George.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you again. Share the podcast with your mates. We love all the DMs that we're getting from everyone saying that the podcast is going great. We really, really appreciate it. Again, you know, it's a love thing for everyone here. So, the love of Greek football continues on. Hope your team goes well. Hope your team succeeds. And I hope you have a great week as well, people. See yous later. Bye-bye.